Now, international bond issue to the market. International bond issue market. How this market is playing? A borrower desiring to raise the funds by issuing the euro bonds to the investing public will contract an investment banker, and ask it to serve as a lead manager for underwriting syndicate that will bring the bond into the market. The lead manager will usually invite other banks to form a managing group to help to negotiate the terms with the borrowers, ascertain the market condition, and manage the issuance. The managing group, along with the other banks, will serve as an underwriter for the issue, and they will be committing their own capital to buy the issue from the borrower at the discount from the issue price. International bond issue market further consists of that most of the underwriters which are formed along with the other banks will be a part of the selling group and that sells the bonds to investing public. Okay. The various members of the underwriting syndicate receives a portion of their spread. Usually it is ranging from 2 to 2.5% of the issue size, depending upon the number and type of functions they perform. Therefore, the lead managers receive the full spread and the bank serves only a member of the selling group receives a very small portion of it. Characteristic of the foreign bonds. Okay. Euro bonds we have seen and different type of bonds we have seen. This characteristic of the foreign bond is that there are three characteristics of the foreign bonds. One, the bond is either issued by the foreign entity, such as the government, municipality, or corporation. Number two, the bond is traded on the foreign exchange market, and the bond, third one is the bond is denominated in foreign currency. These three characteristic features are very important as far as the foreign bond market is concerned or characteristics are concerned. These foreign bonds are subject to currency risk. When you hold the bond, it is denominated in foreign currency. A bond which takes a specified time to mature, there is no guarantee of return of the bond which is given the currency, given in the currency exchange fluctuation. So the euro bond is the bond which is issued at and traded in the country other than the one in which the currency is determined. Euro bond does not necessarily have to originate or end up in the euro, although the most of the debt instrument of this type are issued by the non-European entities to the European investors. Meaning an equity, meaning an entity can place a bond on the German exchange denominated in American dollars. In German exchange, which is denominated in American dollar or US dollar. Another difference is the composition of the underwriting syndicate. Euro bonds are underwritten by the international syndicate and it is not subject to the rules of regulations of any country. Further, these foreign bonds, however, are underwritten in the country of the currency of the denomination and are therefore subject to the regulations of that country. Now, foreign bond represents an unenforceable claim. How? The primary risk of the foreign bond is that it is an unenforceable claim. An investor that owns the bond of the company in his or her home own country has a specific legal recourse in event of default. Whereas in foreign bonds, however, it offers no such protection. An external political movement, for example, Iran in 1970, could come to power and the size of deny all the foreign assets and the claims. Country may become engaged in military conflict and prohibits its currency from leaving the border. After the World War II, for example, investors which are holding the bonds in Great Britain were paid interest in the pound, yet were unable to convert those pounds into the dollars. The money could only be reinvested in the pound-denominated investment or spent within the borders of the Britain or her colonies. So money will not go out of that country. Invest in foreign securities. Investing in the foreign securities can reduce the overall portfolio risk and at some time the modestly increase in the potential of the return. The US stock market still remains the largest in the world. However, the foreign market now account for the approximately 50% of the global stock market is capitalization. Consequently, it is becoming more important to diversify the portfolio globally, taking advantage of the growth rates in a different region and the countries. Proper international diversification can help the balance out to the return by reducing or avoiding the losses where the US markets are underperform. Now, important aspect of the bond we have seen. Now we have to see the another type of bond, that is multi-currency bond. This multi-currency bond is the bond which is denominated in more than one currency. For example, Toyota issuing the bond, Toyota issuing the bond, promising the interest payment in yen and the repayment of the principal in US dollar. So bond provides the legal entities with a means for financing and investment and found in a variety of the forms. Multi-currency bonds differ from plain vanilla bonds in that currency of the interest coupon is different from the currency of the repayment amount. The information regarding the processing of the foreign exchange facts is available in the business conflict or business content of the documentation for IFRS as well as in the other available SAP document. Multi-currency bonds are normally set up with the fixed and the variable interest rate floaters and have the fixed maturity terms. An exception to this is the perpetual or the perpetual bonds, for which no end of the term has been agreed upon. Business content does not take a perpetual into account. So bond sums usually repaid at the end of the maturity terms. However, in multi-currency bonds with an installment repayment are also possible. This is the additional feature in multi-currency bond. Installment repayment of the coupon is permitted. However, currently it cannot be mapped by the bank and bank. Okay. Different variants of the interest structure that can be found in the bond market. Some of the list which present only the product that are mapped in the business content It is not intended to be a complete list. So one is a fixed interest bond, that is fixed interest for complete term. Floating rate note, that is FRN, generally variable interest plus markup. Then reverse floater, fixed interest minus variable interest. Then step up down, that is interest rate vary over the term and are from start, however, the fixed per coupon. The zero bonds, that is bond without the current interest calculations, zero coupon bonds that are issued at an exchange rate clearly below 100%, and the difference with the respect to the 100% correspond to the discounted interest payments, although the end of maturity terms is a zero bond. Multi-currency bond assets. Multi-currency bond assets. A purchased multi-currency bond is a financial assets portfolio that is reported either in the trading position, that is trading securitized, that is FFT, or DFE, or asset portfolio, that is investment securities, that is AFS or HTM. We'll understand that what is AFC, HTS and all. The holding category is also assigned according to the general object model of the bank analyzer in the form of separate securitization position account. Now, multi-currency bond issuance. Issues are reported on the balance sheet in the item debt security in issue and are amortized the cost. They are always managed in the holding category like other liabilities. Recognition and the valuation according to the IFRS, this consists of one, holding criteria. Now, what is the holding criteria determines? Held for maturity, that is HFM, HTM. The business content, the holding category, HTM, is not considered for the multi-currency bond. It is, of course, in theory, it is possible for multi-currency bond as well as the practice. However, this is a seldom form of the banks. A multi-currency bond might be categorized as a HTM, holding for market. For example, in case of insurance company that is hold such a security for the maturity. So holding till maturity, HTM, holding till maturity as a premium reserve fund for the example. The reclassification of the business transaction is therefore relevant since the position can only be classification from HMT form to HMT position, hold to marketing, maturity, hold till maturity. Now available for sale, AFS, available for sale. Position of the category is available for the sale or be recognized at the time of acquisition. Transaction costs are calculated at acquisition cost in the business content. The fair value is also calculated in the key date valuation and amortization is determined in the first step, which is called as result is equal to amortized cost. In the second step, the unrealized results are determined on the basis of the fair value in the object currency. Another cost, another holding is available for sale, AFS, available for sale. The results form the fair value calculations are posted as a part of the capital to revaluation reserve. Now, revaluation surplus without affecting the net income. In the third step, the unrealized profit or loss in foreign currency is calculated. Now hold for trading, that is HFT, hold for trading, that means HFT. The position in category held for the trading, that means HTM or HTF, sorry, are usually the short-term realization of the profit. Short-term realization of profit. And these positions are also managed at fair value in the balance sheet. Okay. Amortization is determined at the first step in the key date valuation, that is result is equal to amortized cost. In the second step, the unrealized results are determined on the basis of the fair value in the object of currency. And the third step, the unrealized profit or loss in foreign currency is calculated. Now held for trading, HFT, held for trading. The valuation with results are posted directly in the profit and the loss statement. And all the position that are from the short sales, short position, and that have to be accounted for the trading liabilities must be assigned the holding category as HFT, that is held for trading. This fact must be taken into consideration when diversifying the business transaction. Whatever is explained is covered here in the small table AFS, HTP, DPUN, OLI, where is the carrying value is a fair value and amortize the cost, that is OLI. Whereas in the notes it is how it is to be determined, that is explained here. So these are the key table with relevance to the valuation of multi-currency bonds. Now amortization cost, how it is to be calculated. The amortization cost is calculated using the valuation model of the cash flow discount on the basis of the effective interest rate. And what is fair value? The fair value is calculated if the market price are available using the valuation model mark to market, and if no market prices are available, then the valuation model cash flow discount is used. Okay. Now, the discounting is performed with the swap, and the swap curve without any spread curve and without using the financial instrument, less dependent spread is the formula which is used for discounting. Okay. The short-term position that can be valued, which is using mark to market, this valuation only, and they cannot be valued using the mark to market model valuation. Multi-currency strategy which is geared for the high return. Have you heard of the currency sandwich? Currency sandwich. And this is one of the strategy. So if you have not heard the currency sandwich strategy, here you can understand that the investors in the know should be knowing that have been using this distortion in the world's currency market to make some of the high return for the decades. Okay? This strategy is not for the faint of heart, but for those that can risk big losses for the substantial rewards. In a simple terms, the currency sandwich is a strategy where one borrows a low interest currency and then investing the loan in multiple currencies with a higher return than the cost of the loan. This difference in interest has returned. Many investors profit in the double to triple digits range. However, this strategy is highly speculative and is not without any risk. There is a risk, always risk. The cost of repaying the loan together with the interest will go up should be the exchange rate on the loan currency. When it goes up, thus the net profit will decline. As long as the interest differential is a larger than the possible negative development in the price and exchange rates, a potential gain on the investment is made. Now, coming down to the last aspect of this topic is bank financing. This is called bank financing. It is a common financing, it is a common, and everybody is aware of financing by the banks. The Indian banking system has remarkably successful in some of the respects. Its immense size and the enormous potentials in the rural area is exemplary among the developing countries as its solid reputation for stability among the depositors. The penetration in a rural area has been associated with the reduction in the poverty and a diversification of the agriculture. However, in recent years, it has been widely viewed as being both expensive and inept. In particular, it has been argued that the most banks are overstated, that the large fraction of their assets are non-performing assets, that is NPA, and those they are underlent in the sense of not putting through any efforts into their primary task of financing the industry. A wide range of remedies has been suggested by the government, ranging from strengthening the legal system to strengthening or maybe punishing the defaulters or abolishing the targeted lending program, so-called as the priority sector lending, to privatization of the entire banking system, and so many things are happening in the Indian banking system. In this, to cover the loan requirement or the financial requirement by the industries, there is a concept called a parallel loan. What is this parallel loan means? The parallel loans involves exchange of the firms between the firms in different countries with exchange reserved at the latter date. It means a parallel loan refers to the loan which involves an exchange of the currencies between the four parties with promise to be exchanged in currency at the predetermined exchange rate on a specified future date. Typically, these parties consist of two pairs of affiliated companies. The parallel loans are commonly arranged by the two multinational parent companies into two different countries. Okay? These are the parallel loans. Now, back-to-back loans. Back-to-back loans involves an exchange of the currencies between the two parties with the promise to re-exchange the currencies at the specified rate on the specified future date. Back-to-back loan, it involves the two companies domiciled in two different countries. For example, IBM borrows the money in US dollar and lend the borrowed funds to a Olivetti in Italy, which in turn borrow the funds from Italy and lend it to those funds to the IBM in United States. Round chipping. By this simple arrangement, each firm has access to the capital market in foreign country, and they make use of their comparative advantage of borrowing in different capital markets. Now, the drawback of the parallel and the back-to-back loans, drawbacks. The difficulty in funding the counterparties with the matching needs. Then firm must find its firms to the mirror image of the financing needs. Then financing requirement includes the principals, types, interest, interest payments, then frequency of the interest, and then the length of the loan period. These search cost for finding such counterparty is quite considerable. One is still obligated to comply with the loan and the loan terms even where the others is defaulting. In above example, IBM is still liable for the loan even if Olivetti defaults. And to avoid the default risk, a separate agreement defining the right of the offset must be drafted. So little bit complications are observed in drawback of in the parallel and back-to-back loan. The loan are carried on the accounting books of the both the firms. This limits the additional borrowing and hence the limits the leverage of these firms. Swaps, on the other hand, overcome the above drawback by way of making it easier to find counterparties via swap market. Okay? Defending an offset agreement in a part of the swap. Principal amounts offset the agreement. Principal amounts in the swap do not appear on accounting books, and these off-book transactions helps the banks to avoid the increase in the capital requirement under the applicable regulations. Coming down to understand the swap banks. Swap, financial institutions which assist in completion of the swaps are called as a swaps banks. Now the swap banks make profit from the bid and ask spread if it imposes on the swap coupon. A swap broker is a swap bank who acts as strictly as an agent without taking any financial positions in the swap transaction. That is, merely it matches the counterparties and does not assume any risk of the swaps. So the swap dealer is a swap bank who actually transacts for its own account to help the complete swap. In this capacity, the swap dealer assumes a position in a swap and also assumes the certain risk. Now, type of swaps. Plain vanilla swaps. There are different types. Plain vanilla swap. What is this plain vanilla swap? It is the simplest kind of swaps. Here, two counterparties agreed to make the payment to each other based on some underlying assets. These payments include interest payment, commission, and other service charges. The swap agreement contains specification of the assets to be exchanged, the rate of interest applicable to each, and the timetable by which the payments are to be made, and the other provisions. The two parties may or may not exchange the underlying assets, which are called as a notional principal. And in order to distinguish them from the physical exchanges in each market. Interest rate swaps. What is this interest rate swaps? The interest rate swaps is a swaps in which the counterparties exchanges the cash flow of the floating rate. Cash flow of the floating rate for the cash flows of fixed rate and vice versa. So floating rate and a fixed rate. cash flow. Okay? So, no notional principle changes, but it refers to the amount. It refers to the amount against which the interest is calculated. Interest rate swaps can be international or it may be domestic. The most common motive for the interest rate swap is one change in the financial market may be causing the interest rate change. Then borrowers may have the different credit rating in the different countries. Borrowers have different preferences for debt service payment schedule. And interest rate swaps are normally arranged by the international banks, which serves as the swap broker or swap dealer. Through the interest rate swaps, borrower obtains a lower cost of the debt service payment, and lender obtains the service guarantee. After the interest rate swaps, there is another swap called currency swaps. A currency swap is a swap in which one party provides a certain principal in one currency to be to the counterparty in exchange for the equivalent amount in a different currency. Okay? For example, an US firm wants to exchange its dollars in Indian rupees, while an Indian firm wants to exchange rupee to its dollars. Given these two needs, the two may engage the swap deal. So currency swap is similar to the parallel loans, but the swaps are better due to it is easy to finding the counterparty and the right to offset the loan payment and off-book transaction. Now swaps and caps, floor, and the collars. These are also terms used in the in this kind of financing, international financing. Swaptions is an option to the swap. Swaption is an option to enter into plain vanilla swaps. A call swaption gives a holder the right to receive the fixed interest payment. Whereas the put swaption gives a right to the holder to make a fixed interest payment, call swaptions are attractive when the interest rates are expected to fall or down. Put options are attractive when the interest rates are expected to rise. Banks and the investment firms usually act as a dealer rather than the broker. The interest rate caps sets the maximum rate of interest on the floating rate. And floating rate interest payment and the interest rate floor set the minimum rate of interest on the floating rate in the interest payment. And interest rate floor sets the minimum rate of interest on the floating rate interest payment, and an interest rate collar combines a cap with the floor. Buyer of the complete summary of this is a buyer of these instruments pays one-time premium, which is small percentage of the notional capital. Now, motivational swaps. There are three basic motivational swaps. First, the company uses the swaps to provide the protection against the future changes in the exchange rates. Second one is companies uses the swaps to eliminate the interest rate risk arising from the normal commercial preparations. And the third, the company use the swaps to reduce the financing cost. These are the three basic differences. Now, closing thoughts. Swap market has emerged largely because the financial swaps escapes many of the limitations which are inherent in the currency features and also option matches. Swaps are the customs which are tailored to need to two parties, and the swaps agreements are more likely to meet the specific needs of the counterparties than the currency features in options. Swap markets done via financial institutions and offers the privacy when as compared to the foreign exchange market. Lastly, the swaps are not as highly regulated as options and the future markets. Credit swaps involves the exchange of the currencies between bank and the firms rather than two firms. That is credit swaps. It is alternate method of obtaining the debt capital for the foreign subsidiary without sending the funds abroad. So, the credit default swaps are utilized to control one's exposure to the credit risk. And this credit default swaps is similar to an insurance contract because it provides the protection against the specific credit event. In a typical default swaps, one party sells the credit risk, usually associated with the corporate bond or underlying the credit assets, to the counterparty. The buyer pays the periodic fees to the premium. Buyer pays the periodic fees or the premium to normally expressed on the basis of the points on the potential amount to the seller. And in turn, the seller pays the default payment upon default and then defined a credit-related event to the underlying corporate entities, thus protecting the buyer from financial losses. This credit default swap are often founded in ISDA master agreement. ISDA is International Swaps and Derivatives Agreement. ISDA means International Swaps and Derivative Association Master Agreement, which defines the protection and the obligations of the parties. However, if any default does not occur during that terms of the swaps, then the buyer continues to pay the premium till its maturity. Traditionally, there is no exchange of money when two parties enter into the contract. The payments are done only during the term of contract. The premium paid by the buyer to the seller is most oftenly called as a spread. And it is expressed in terms of the basis point per amount or per unit on the potential value of the contract, and typically the paid quarterly for the corporates, credit default swaps, or even semi-annually also. The notional value of the contract, implies the total face value of the underlying assets. It is important to note that these spreads that are not the same as the yield spread for the corporate bond or the government bond. Maturity period of a typical credit default swap, it varies or differs from 1 year to 10 years, with 5 years being the most common time frame. There are no limits on the size of the credit. And the default swap contract, though the most contract falls between rupees 500 million to rupees 100 million, the underlying corporate entity may be autonomous corporate entities, state government, financial institution, and the other investment or such investment grade corporations. Once the specified credit related event like the insolvency of the underlying corporate entity occurs, a credit event notice is delivered either by the buyer or by the seller. Usually, the settlement condition for the default payment of the credit default swaps is established at the time of writing the relevant credit default swap. Okay, in case of the particular credit related event is targeted, the cash settlement or the physical settlement is settled upon. The physical settlement means, in a physical settlement, the seller actually takes the delivery. Seller actually takes the delivery or buys the defaulted bonds or loan from the buyer as per the value. Physical settlement takes place within 30 days after the credit event is happened. And the cash settlement is nothing but a cash settlement is a payment which is equal to the difference between the market value of the bond or the value of the maybe the underlying credit assets for the initial notional amount and the par value of the bond. The main difference between the physical settlement and the cash settlement is that the physical settlement, the seller has remedy to underlying corporate entity as well as the chance to take part in the workout procedure for the holder for the defaulted underlying credit assets. The common credit events of the credit default swaps are: one is a bankruptcy. There are three. One is a bankruptcy. Default, how the default happens in swaps, credit swaps, how the default happens. There are three main events. One is a bankruptcy. The underlying corporate entity becomes insolvent or it's unable to repay the debt. That is called bankruptcy. Then the failure to pay. Failure to pay means the underlying corporate entity is unable to make the outstanding interest payment or the principal payment. And the third one is debt restructuring. The underlying corporate entity negotiates the changes in term of the debt obligation. Now, coming down to the parallel loan versus the credit swap, just to understand that. Now, the parallel loan involves two companies, whereas the credit swap involves one company. In both the companies or the banks are located two different countries. Both type of financing avoids money flow between the countries. The parallel loans are more difficult to arrange than the credit swaps because the parties must find each other. In case of the credit swaps, all that is needed is that the parent or its subsidiary is approached to the bank. Friends, with this, we have completed our discussion on the long-term financing arrangement in our last chapter of book Financial Management Part 1. I thank you very much for the management of the Wellinger Institute of Management for giving me an opportunity to review the subject matter under Financial Management Part 1 and also permitting me to incorporate these three new chapters for your better understanding of international financing and also some international terminologies which are used in financing these activities under Financial Management. This is a basic information. Of course, I have also written Financial Management 2, Part 2, and that is for your next year, but that also determines only or discuss only aspects about the decision making part. This is the preliminary part in the Financial Management Part 1, which I hope you will like it. And thank you very much, and all the best to all of you. Thank you very much.